Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Friday, the 19th of April. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning by Chris Jack. How's it going, Chris?
Not bad. We've not spoken since pre-match on Wednesday. At that stage, everything was not right, but okay in the world. Taking a turn for the worse since our last conversation, unfortunately.
Yeah, it absolutely has. We'll get stuck into, can you get your thoughts on where the title race is? We're going to discuss Dujon Sterling's press conference and we'll mull over who is likely to start against Hearts on Sunday. Before we do that, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, NPH Boilers. You know the drill by now. They've got some wonderful Viessmann boilers on offer. They throw in a free internet controller with every purchase. They've got flexible finance options. The first year, you get service absolutely free as well. The all-important links are in the description below. Right. Well, Chris, where does this leave the title race set for you? For me, it's done. I think listening to Dujon Sterling's press conference yesterday, I have zero... if not zero belief that Rangers can claw this back. Where do you stand on it all?
I have the same levels of belief as you, unfortunately, Derek. I think if you look at it in pure black and white, you say Rangers have five games left. If they win their five games, that also gives them a great chance. But can you see this side in the form that they're in and the position that they've put themselves in? Can you see them putting together that run of five? Personally, I don't think so. The goal difference comes into it as well. It's not a bigger concern right now. It's only five. You know you're going to have to win the Old Firm games. That gives you a chance to maybe do something there. The Ibrox games potentially going to be really important in terms of goal difference, but I don't see it getting to the stage where goal difference will be a thing. I know the manager said post-match the other night that we can go and win five games. This team have done it before. But they did it before in a very different situation. We've seen some of these players, when you get to this stage of the campaign, the form goes, there's questions over bottle mentality, heart, all the things that get thrown at them by fans season after season after season when it gets to this crunch stage of the campaign. So it's definitely, as Denzel says, it's definitely not over. But yep. I think the fact that we've seen this movie so often, we've lived through this over recent seasons. I think that's the biggest issue right now. Yes, it's only 3 points. If you had offered the fans a 3-point deficit heading into the split when Clement came in, I think everyone would have bitten your hand off for it. They would have said, that's great, it gives us a real chance of going for the championship. It's just is that scarring, that those mental wounds of recent seasons. Clement is almost paying the price for the failures of previous sides and previous managers, because that's why people don't have the faith in this squad and why they don't have the faith in some of these players.
Yep. Right, Dujon, of course, it was an embargoed press conference. He was speaking after the game on Wednesday night. It was released yesterday. You can check it out in full over on the YouTube channel, folks, and you can read what he had to say on the website. He said that Rangers were playing as if it was a dead rubber game. He says, it's difficult to say any words, really. It's not good enough on our part. We have a lot of work to do and we need to reset. We need to get our heads in the game and switch our mentality, because for now, it's not going in the right direction. There is still a lot of games to be played and there's still things to fight for. It's just disappointing and I don't really know what to say. We are fighting for a title and the way we are playing, it's as if we're not playing for anything. It's like the season is dead and it's a dead rubber game. Somehow it's got to switch. It's a team thing, not just one person and not just the gaffer. And then went on to say, talking about belief. We have to have that belief that we can, when asked if his team can come back again. Back then, we had the togetherness, we had the belief, we still had to have the togetherness, but I don't know if the belief is there. I think everyone has to switch their mind so that we can have that belief. We can do this. Of course, anything can happen. We have five games left, five cup finals, and hopefully the fans can push us to get through them. We owe ourselves a performance as well, because we have been shit the past three games. We think we need to reset and do it for the fans as well, because They have come home and away backing us, singing for 90 minutes, and we owe it to them. Obviously, I understand why the fans are angry after the game, but hopefully they can still back us for the rest of the campaign and still push us on. The past 2 weeks have featured disappointing results, and I know fans have seen it before in the past years. Hopefully, we can change that, but we will see. The fact, he says, he doesn't know if the belief is there, Chris, is absolutely damning. The supporters don't believe, very few believe that this Rangers squad can go on and win all five games and win the title. But if he's seen that in the squad, then that is really telling.
I think we look at Clement again mentioned this post-match on Wednesday. He said, when he came in October, he was the only one that believed. He was the only one in Glasgow that believed. One of his biggest tasks early on was to put that faith and to put a bit of belief back in the squad, because we saw during the final weeks of Michael Beale's tenure that those qualities just seeped out of the players individually and collectively. So Clement inherited a side who were short on belief, who didn't have the faith that they could go on and put together a title challenge. He managed to install that in them. He's managed to get them to this stage. And for some reason, it's evaporated in the space of a couple of weeks. Now, that Motherwell game at Ibrox has gone from being a one-off and a freak and a bad day at the office to the beginning of the end, because he then followed up with defeats, a defeat to Ross County, the draw against Celtic, missed opportunity. Wednesday night, I didn't think it was better at all, despite what the manager said. I thought Rangers were absolutely terrible on Wednesday night. And once again, the manager now finds himself having to somehow make these guys believe. But even if the players bounce into training in the morning thinking, five games, we can go and win the championship. Seven games, we can win the treble. What an achievement. What a place in Rangers history we'll take if we can do that. Even if they're sitting in the changing room this morning thinking that, the fans that go to Hampden on Sunday that then turn up against St Mirren for the games after the split, it's going to take a lot more than that for them to have the belief. Because as I mentioned earlier on, they've seen it, they've lost the faith that a number of these players, the same ones that get mentioned on the show every week or every day at present, they've lost the faith in these guys to be able to deliver at this stage of the season. So even if the manager can pull off some miracle and he can put a team on the park that has that faith in themselves, calling for the backing of the support is one thing. Actually giving them something a bit more tangible to believe in, I think that's going to be a very, very difficult job for them. And it has to start on Sunday. It has to start with, obviously, a win to get us into the Scottish Cup final. But performance levels just have to rise so much. If Sunday is taken care of and we do get that, it would certainly be a positive. It would be a good step for Rangers. And it would just change the mood music a wee bit heading into the split. If Sunday goes badly, your chances of getting people to believe that there's a Premiership challenge on this side are non-existent.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Dujon. I spoke to him after the Benfica game as well. He speaks very well, very honest, and a sharp contrast to what the manager came out and said, Chris. Now, I understand why he came out and never threw the players under the bus. He got a huge game on Sunday. He has to keep them on side. He took the brunt of the criticism. But there's a comment coming in there saying, I hope Dujon doesn't get reprimanded by the manager. I don't think he will. I think the manager knew what he was going to come out and say to the press following the game. But I don't think it was the best Philip Clement press conference. Chris, you were there, of course. Were you surprised with what he came out with?
I think that there's a fine line between a manager trying to defend his players and trying not to throw them under the bus, as we say, and trying to back them a wee bit in public. There's a fine line between having that stance and saying things that the fans are just not going to believe in and leaving yourself open to criticism. I think that is a very, very difficult balancing act to get there. I was surprised that the manager was as pleased with the performance on Wednesday. No, he mentioned it. It was a good reaction from Ross County. Only one team wanted to win. They had all the chances, didn't quite have the luck. They did a chance inside the opening 30 seconds that could easily have nestled in the bottom corner. That's not a reaction from what happened at Dingwall. So I think there was a lot to question about the Rangers' performance, about the Rangers' reaction. Also, a lot to be hugely angry and disappointed with in terms of the result. I think Clement was trying his best to take a bit of the heat off the players and try that process of putting a bit of belief back into them. I think that was his way of doing it. I'm not quite sure he struck the right tone. I think his pressers up until now have been almost spot on. Very, very rarely you come away thinking he's called that wrong, or he's not been honest, or he's trying to play games that aren't there. But I think he now finds himself in a difficult position. I'm not convinced that Wednesday was his best performance anyway. Yeah. Really, really interesting to see how he plays it later on. It's obviously full focus on Scottish Cups. He might be able to shift it away a wee bit in that regard. But I think the next couple of Clement pressers are going to be interesting, just to see how he handles it, and not what games he's trying to play, but what messages he's trying to put into the players and what messages he's trying to get into the support.
Yeah, an interesting point from Derek, and this is something I noticed yesterday as well. It says, article regarding similarities with Monaco, now evidence to us, definitely brings questions on Clement's ability under pressure. He was doing well with Monaco last season, sort of tailed off at the end, missed out on Europe, and then he was dismissed in the summer. I hope it is not history repeating itself. I think it's clear that he has to shape the squad in his image. There's a big summer ahead for Rangers once again. How many times have we said that? And it's clear there's a number of players that are nearing the end of their Rangers careers. Whether the manager can get a tune out of them between now and the end of the season, it remains to be seen. Let's hope he can do so on Sunday, because it is a huge game. Hearts will fancy their chances, I've got to say. I think Hearts will not have a better time at playing Rangers this season, and I would not be surprised in the slightest if they were to progress to the final. We'll talk about who should start in the game, Chris. John with a point here. He says, get Sterling in midfield, need his energy, can't believe they've played him at left back. He would be in the midfield for me on Sunday. Just off the top of my head, we will be speaking to the manager later, so we'll get an update as to who will be available and who is out of the game. Let's hope that Mohamed Diamandé is fit. Don't have much hope that Ridvan will be available, given that he's been training on his own. But I think the manager's got decisions to make at centre-back, at left-back, at centre-midfield, and the forward line, Chris. He's got problems all over the park. I know that Chris Boyd, the wordsmith came out with, he's got 99 problems, but the pitch ain't one on Sky the other night there, which was incredible stuff. But he's got a lot of problems to solve for Sunday.
He does, and I think that we spoke ahead of Wednesday night about how the team would be really interesting to see. You know, does he stick or does he twist? Does he go with some of the old guard that the fans have really started focusing on once again, or does he try and change it up? I wouldn't be surprised at all if he sticks with them again on Sunday. I've just sent you my predicted team. Also, that might change depending on the injury update from the presser later on. If it doesn't update, I think we'll see Barisic at left back, and we'll see Sterling in the middle of the pitch. I know Barisic at left back is not a popular choice, but if Ridvan's not fit, I think my thinking ahead of Wednesday night was, where do you get the best out of Sterling and the side? I didn't want to see Barisic start on Wednesday night. So I thought, well, Sterling then has to go in there. But I think it's been clear we're losing too much from midfield. The midfield, once again, the other night, they are just far too open. Has to find a way to try and address that. I think the easiest way to do it and best way to do it is to put Dujon Sterling in there. And I know people will say Lundstrom has to be dropped and bring Nico Raskin in. Raskin is someone that I still like. I think he's still got a part to play, but I just don't see how the manager drops Lundstrom for a cup semi-final. So I think it'll be Lundstrom and Sterling would be my choice in the middle of the pitch. Ahead of that, I think Desers comes back in. Roof, very, very ineffective on Wednesday. Didn't really get a sniff at it, so I'd be surprised. One, because he started, it's unlikely he's going to start two games on the spin. So I think Desers comes back in. And again, I think he'll stick with Links of Cantwell. Big performance needed. I think he'll stick with Silva. Big performance needed. And Seema then is obviously off the other side. So I don't think it's a game where we're going to see huge changes. I'd be surprised if we see, for example, Balogun come back in, Raskin come back in, McCausland come back in. I just don't see how he pitches those three guys into it. I think he will stick with the guys that he has stuck with quite a lot in the last few weeks. Give them the chance to put in a performance, to try and get a result, hopefully give themselves a boost. So I think there's a lot of questions, but I think that the manager will, stick with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and you're almost at that stage. You're almost hoping for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's up to me, as Alistair Rogue said, would you play Davis at left back? Yes. Or anyone else. Robbie Fraser, I'd bring him in if need be. In the middle of the park, I'm dropping John Lundstrom. Doesn't deserve a starting place. I know he's at their manager's go-to man. That's him saying hopefully Diamandi is fit. I'd have Sterling and Diamandi in there. Up front, get your point about Dessers. I think he may start leading the line. I'm dropping Fabio Silva. He's not done anywhere near enough to earn a starting spot. I'll have Rabi Matondo, I think, out there on the left with Abdallah Seema on the right-hand side. But it will be interesting to see the manager starting 11. Blue Nose John, an interesting point. He says, we've got too many English players who have that one-in-three mentality, need more Scots in the starting 11. Don't disagree with the needing more Scots in the starting 11, John. Just in the matchday squad, we've got John Souter in there. Scott Wright comes in and out now and again. That aside, Rangers have very little Scots featuring in that first team. I would like to see that addressed in the summer, Chris. Going down the years, look at all the successful Rangers teams. They've always got a good nucleus of Scottish players in there.
I think that's something that I think we've spoken about this quite a lot in various transfer windows and building up to transfer windows and then during those transfer windows. I think it is something the squad does need, not just because it ticks a box in terms of UEFA, and that's obviously that's a consideration that we'll have to be on the table during the window. I think it does just add something to a squad. You need guys that know what it's like going to Dens Park on a Wednesday night. You need guys that know what Pittodrie is like, what Parkhead is like, you know, how teams are going to come and set up at Ibrox and the type of challenges they're going to face. You need guys who narky and a bit nasty at times, who will maybe leave their foot in and lay down a marker. You need guys that are going to get in the referee's face and make a point. You think back, as you say, great Rangers sides over the past. They've always had that influence. If we don't sign any players from the English Championship this summer, I'll be delighted, because as John says there, they come up here, think it's going to be easy, and it's not. It's very difficult. It's a very unique atmosphere. Players from that league, it just takes them, some of them never get it, some of them it takes far too long for them to get it. It's not to say they're not good players and they could go elsewhere and be very effective. I think we've seen that too often now. Signing Championship players, there's a number of them over the last few weeks, it's not really worked to the extent that we require it to. So I think there will be a big change in the squad over the summer. Really interesting to see what markets Rangers shop in, what road they try and go down, what profile of players they're looking at, because there's no doubt that the squad does need improvement in a number of areas.
Yes, and just talking about the Championship there, that leads us nicely on, because you may have seen the rumours this morning with regards to John Lundstrom. RB says Lundstrom to Ipswich, reports suggesting that the Tractor Boys are keen on signing Lundstrom in the summer. We know he's out of contract. Trabzonspor interest won't go away either. They are keen to add him. Reports are to be believed that an agreement's already been reached with Borna Barisic. This is an interesting one, Chris. I think that would be a decent move for him, I've got to say. And certainly, I have changed my opinion on whether Rangers should be offering him a new contract. I've sort of been sitting on the fence. At one point, he was showing a real purple patch in form, and I was thinking, yes, let's get him signed up. The manager has made no secret in the fact that he wants him to extend his stay at Ibrox. However, his form has fallen off a cliff, and I think it's time to move on in the summer.
It's hard to think of a player in over the last few seasons who has had as many purple patches and non-purple patches as John Lundstrom. Now, I think the number of guys who have had dips in form, but Lundstrom just goes from one extreme to the other. It's a roller coaster of Rangers' career that John Lundstrom has had. Had a really poor start, turned it around, is then out of favour again, turns it around, scores the goal, gets us to the European final. There's then ups and downs after that. Come in to the side under Clement and was really impressive. Manager says he wants to give him a contract. There's people coming on every morning saying sign him up and give him a deal and make sure he's one of the ones that gets a deal. And then all of a sudden, form goes off the boil over the space of a couple of weeks and people are willing to drive him to Ipswich. Somebody will probably drive him to Turkey if they fancy it as well. And he's just one of these guys, he splits opinion and opinions go in different ways so much. I asked the manager about this a couple of weeks ago and he said he was happy with Lundstrom and he wanted the contract signed. Since then his form has not been good. Doesn't merit a place in the team, even though I think he will still keep one. So I think we're waiting until the end of the season. I'd be surprised if Rangers decide now's the time, because you know what the reaction is going to be. Yes, even if they win on Sunday, it raises the mood a wee bit. But can you imagine the replies to the Rangers Twitter post, delighted to sign John Lundstrom a new contract? You just know exactly what the reaction is going to be right now. So now's, either way, now's not the time. He is one of these guys, he just blows hot and cold. If you can get him on the good side and he can maintain his form, I think he's still got a part to play within a squad. Mm. I don't see him being an automatic starter next season. I think Rangers could do better. I would hope they try and invest in that area of the squad once again. If they can do a deal on financial terms that are suitable for Rangers, and he's then not one of the higher earners in the squad, sign him up, maybe give him another year, two, no more than that. I think it all comes down to the money side of it. It comes down to how big a part John Lundstrom wants to play. If he thinks he's going to be one of the first names on the team sheet at Rangers next season, I think a lot of the fans would really disagree with that and they wouldn't be on board with that at all. If he's happy to be a squad player, makes it sound worse, but happy to play his part here and there, I think he may still have a part to play. I think Clement, from what he said, thinks he still has a part to play, but I'd be amazed if Rangers go and say, right, there's a contract, sign it, so we can announce it. That'll really get the fans on side. It's not going to happen anytime soon. And obviously, while that situation then rumbles on, we're going to have these reports coming out of Turkey once again. Get some over there. I think Ipswich in a good position down there. I think that would be a decent move for him. Wages wise, he's not exactly going to be short down there either. So I think there's a lot in play. But a number for almost all the contract guys, I think we've all but written a lot of them off, like McLaughlin, Roof, Jack. People aren't, there's no clamour for these guys to sign on again. Lundstrom is always the one that's in that middle ground. It's, does he stay, does he go?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm under no time pressure to say sign him up. Happy to let things run their course, see how the end of the season goes. And then it's a conversation between him and the manager. Now, what are you looking for financially? But what are you looking for in terms of first team football? And only once those conversations have been had can we then decide if John Lundstrom will be a Rangers player next season or not.
Yeah, nah, I think it would be a cracking move for him. Ipswich are flying under Kieran McKenna, top of the Championship. It's going to go down to the wire there, playing in the Premier League. An opportunity for him. I'd be choosing that over a move to Turkey. But I think the time has come for Rangers and John Lundstrom to part ways. And you always like a bit of comedy on here. It's not a taxi down to Ipswich. Girls' Greatest DJ says tractor for Lundstrom. So we like that, buddy. Thank you for that. David Brown, your point. This is what we brought up when we were on the show yesterday, when we were on with Johnny and Joshua. We need a spine of a team, something we can build around a new centre-back, new centre-mid and a new number nine. Can't disagree with any of that, Chris.
No,
I need a new goalkeeper if Jack Butland leaves as well.
You took the words right out of my mouth there, Derek. I fear that that spine will be requiring a starting in the number one jersey as well. I think Rangers could easily be looking at a goalkeeper, a centre half, a midfielder, and a number nine in the summer to give them back that spine. I think there will be interest in Jack Butland after the season he's had up here. If you look at the financial position and what's been said and what's been spent, if there is going to be a rebuild, which we're all looking at, which we're all hoping for, the money for that is going to have to come from somewhere. $4.5 million has already been sidelined or put aside in terms of Diamandé. Other sellable assets, you're looking at Ridvan again. You'll probably make a bit of money on him. I think he's someone you could potentially reinvest that money if you got a decent fee. Butland is obviously head and shoulders the most sellable asset. So if it is a case of Rangers have to move someone on to bring some money in for the manager to then be clever with, and Neil's Cobb to try and then spend that a different way, Butland's the obvious one. So I think that spine there beside, as David says, is something that has to be addressed. It needs freshened up, it needs strengthened. And I wouldn't be surprised, I say, if Rangers are looking at goalkeeper, centre-half, a centre-midfielder, and definitely a number nine.
Yeah, there's an interesting point coming in from Steve-O as well. He says, can you identify any player in this team as a reliable starter for next season? From the team that started on Wednesday night, Dujon Sterling, if Butland doesn't, Butland as well, if a big offer doesn't materialise. That aside, I think that is pretty much it, Chris, which tells you everything you need to know. Off the top of my head, players I would like to see stay next season, incidentally. I'd be keeping John Souter. Ridvan, I'd be happy if he stays. However, like you say, I'd expect a bit of noise in the summer. If a big bid comes in, then I wouldn't be surprised to see him move on. Diamandé, of course, will be here. Cantwell, I know that people are... need to see more from him. I would like to see more from Todd as well, but I'd be keeping him. And other than that, Abdallah Seema, I would like to see a deal struck for Abdallah, ditto Oscar Cortez, and that's pretty much it.
And I think that probably sums up the situation that Rangers find themselves in. I had that thought driving back down the road from Dens Park the other night there. A lot of time to contemplate how things have unfolded over the course of the season, and it's that age old question of if you obviously see the comments coming in on the show every morning, you get a gauge of the mood of the fans. I think if you took a cross section and say, like, how many of these players would you be really upset if they were not part of the squad next season? You're not getting a long list of names. I think there'll be debates over the likes of Butland is the obvious one. I think you get a fairly unanimous view on Jack Butland. But even when you get into the guys, some of the ones you mentioned there, people will say, Seema, nah, he's not worth the money. That money can be used elsewhere. I know people aren't a massive fan of John Souter. People aren't a massive fan of Todd Cantwell. I think Sterling probably falls into the Butland category. There's not many people who I think would write off Dujon. But apart from that, the rest of those names are either going to be happy to get rid of them or find themselves in a grey area where there's huge debate over them. And I think that sums up the situation that Rangers find themselves in, not just in terms of form and the title race and the mood of the fans. Sums up where they are in terms of the squad rebuild or the squad modelling or the squad development over the last couple of seasons. Some guys outstayed their welcome, if you like. Some guys clearly coming towards the end of their stay. Some guys need moved on. Some we would like to try and hold on to, like Seema, like Cortez, who I thought was really bright when he first came in. So I said that sums up the job that Rangers have over the summer. It's unrealistic to expect 15 out and 15 to come in. That's going to be too big a turnover. Some fans are going to be unhappy that players stayed. I think that the ones that will leave, I don't see that being a massive outcry.
Yeah, and as Tam Brown says, I'd be keeping McCausland as well. So, he can contribute next season. But, that aside, a big turnover is expected. We'll just wrap up. There's a comment coming in about how we feel Sunday will go. I don't have much confidence going into the game, Chris. I think Rangers... could be on the receiving end of a defeat. I think this squad, the belief, as we heard from Dujon Sterling, it's all over the place at this moment in time. I think the two results in the last few days have really hit them hard, and the mentality is shot to bits. I think Hearts have got a really, really good chance of making it to the Scottish Cup final at Rangers' expense. How do you think it's going to go?
It's the whole heart versus head situation, isn't it? You always think, well, Rangers should be winning any game. Their historical record against Hearts of Hamden obviously speaks for itself. But you then look at form, you look at Hearts, crest of a wave, having turned around their season under Stephen Naismith, number of impressive results. They're in a good place. They've had a whole week to prepare for this one. Naismith outlined the position the Rangers are in at his press conference yesterday. He will definitely think that they're there to be got at, they're there to be beaten. But you then think, well, it's Rangers, it's a cup semi-final, we've got better players, we think we've got a better manager, we should be going there and we should be winning. So I would fancy Rangers just to sneak through or go for the same 2-1 that Blazing Blues predicted there. But I don't think it'll be pretty. I don't think it'll be comprehensive. I don't think we'll suddenly see Rangers turn in a great performance, because performances the last few weeks just haven't been there. Spoke to someone yesterday about Rangers in general, actually. I said, how many in the last, go back the last couple of months, how many really, really impressive performances have we seen? There's not that many of them. So I don't think it's going to be a classic. But I still fancy Rangers just to get the job done. And if they do, hopefully that is the kickstart. Hopefully that's something that just gives us a wee bit of belief, gives us a wee bit of form heading into post split games. And they are very much just every game is a huge 90 minutes. Every game is a huge must win for them. But Sunday can be defining, obviously, in terms of Scottish Cup aspirations. That speaks for itself, but I think Sunday it can go a long way to shaping the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, it is must win. The last two games were must win, though. That's what gives me the fear that Rangers will not respond and stand up on Sunday. But Thomas McCrimmon is certainly confident. He says, Hearts will get leathered. I hope you are right, Thomas. But yeah, I fear it's not going to be a pretty one on Sunday. Just a heads up, what's to come today, folks. It is press conference day, so we'll have all the usual reaction from the Rangers training centre. It'll be interesting to hear what the manager and whatever player is put up for the press has to say. So those that are YouTube members on the Rangers Review Extra channel will be back with the reaction to that later on. It's your good self heading over there, Chris, is it?
I believe so. I think it's be there for 1 o'clock. So I think the manager's due to speak at 2. Yeah. Player before that. So as always, we'll have all the reaction, have the full Q&As, and have the videos on the site as soon as we can. And then I'll join you if the members. So hopefully people can tune into that one later on. As always, it'll be an interesting presser.
Yeah, top stuff. Before I forget, we do have not an ideal time to launch one of the best offers we've ever had on the Rangers Review website, but there you go. We've got two brilliant offers, £18 for an entire year, or you can take out a six-month subscription for just £1. Not only that, you get entered into a draw for that signed Rangers jersey, the one they wore between 94 and 96, the Gaza jersey, as it's famously known, and it's signed by the great man himself and also Ali McCoist. So it's certainly worth subscribing for that alone. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up. Existing subscribers all already entered into the draw as well. Right, we'll wrap up there. Thanks to everyone for interacting with the show as ever, and we'll speak to you a little later on. Bye for now.